There were those days of thick fog around New Year's, and all the old-timers were saying, 90 days, 90 days, give me a big old blizzard coming. I don't believe any of that garbage. But, you know, I was curious, so I looked at the calendar, I was like, what is 90 days from now? Oh, great, Holy Week, lovely. But I'm just glad the snow we're supposed to be getting, whatever the sort of storm is, this Sunday instead of the next. I put aside what I wanted to preach on, you know, in this beautiful feast of Palm Sunday and how rich it is in terms of understanding what we're entering into. And I want to dive into instead just some very practical encouragement and challenge to you as we enter into these days of Holy Week, these holiest days of the year. There are basically three ways that a person can approach Holy Week. The first is coming into Holy Week on Palm Sunday and then hopping right to Easter. But to do this, to jump into Easter and the resurrection without going through the passion and the cross, it essentially renders the resurrection and the joy of it meaningless. It empties and hollows it out because you have to go through the cross in faith with Jesus if Easter and what Easter is to have the effect of grace in one's soul that it's meant to. People are saying, give me a happy Easter every now and then. I tell them with a smile, it's like, not yet, not yet. We still get a whole Holy Week to go through. A second approach is to go through Holy Week, but to kind of go through it as a passive observer, like you're watching a movie. And so you're watching the movie and you see these things unfold. And even watching a movie, you know, it might move you a little bit. You might be moved to tears or you might find something very interesting. But all you are is sort of a passive observer, watching it sort of from a distance. But then there's an approach to Holy Week in which it's diving deeply into these days. Diving deeply into them where it changes a person. Where what it does is bring a person into deeper communion with Jesus as you follow him and are with him through each of these holy days. And so this is the encouragement and the challenge I want to hold up to you and to give you some very practical ways in Holy Week to be able to do this, so that Holy Week is able to change your soul, to transform it. The first is if you haven't had a chance yet to make a good confession during Lent, please do so. One of the beautiful things this Lent has been the extra hours of confession. The last 2 weeks, nearly every minute, there have been people coming and confessing. And you can almost hear when someone who's been away for a number of years or even just a number of months and there's a lot of heavy sin on their soul, you can hear almost the sin, the weight of it being lifted off of them. And what happens within their soul in that. And we do this so that our soul is able to receive the graces that Jesus desires to give to us in these days. There are so many graces that Jesus desires to give you through these days. And it's not as if we don't go to confession, Jesus is like, no, 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 not for you. He desires desperately to give us these graces, but if we're still holding on to our sins within our soul, we're not able to receive them because our soul is still clinging to sin. And so to go, if you haven't had a chance this Lent, to let go of your sin, to give it to Jesus, that it might be forgiven, and your soul might be prepared to receive the fullness of the graces in these days of Holy Week. There's a penance service this afternoon at Queen of Peace, as well as Tuesday, in which all the priests of the city will be there. Holy Thursday, it's the day in which we commemorate the two great gifts that Jesus gave the night before he died. He gave us the gift of the priesthood and the gift of the Eucharist. And it's these two gifts in which Jesus, he's hidden within them. And on Holy Thursday, at the end of the service, there's a great procession around the church to the side altar. And this is us proceeding, as Jesus did after the Last Supper with his disciples, to the Garden of Gethsemane. And then there's a vigil held in which we keep vigil and prayer with Jesus, as he asked his disciples to do. Could you not spend an hour with me in prayer? And so for the hours after the service, from 7 p.m. until midnight, to come and to spend one of those hours with Jesus in prayer. One of my earliest memories as a child was something on Holy Thursday. Our little country church, there's only so many families, and so a family had to take a couple of the hours to fill them. And so we split up, in which Dad would take an hour and some kids would go with him. Mom would take an hour, some kids would go with him. And then the older siblings, they would go and take a couple of the younger kids too. That way we'd all get split up. And I went with Mom that year. I was maybe 3-4 years old. And after she shushed me like 20 times, which if you have little kids, don't bring them. Bring them. After she shushed me a bunch, I kind of just curled up on the pew. And I remember my mom was sitting there kneeling in prayer, and my little mind was thinking, there's something different that's going on now. There's something that's different here. Come and spend 1 hour and keep watch with Jesus as he prepares to enter into his passion. Good Friday, the passion and death of Jesus. On this day, I encourage you, this day, which is one of the 2 days of the church year, Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, of great fast, to enter deeply into the fast. In our country and in much of the Western world, we have no idea what it means to really be physically hungry. And so I encourage you on Good Friday, enter into a deep fast just to the point where your body experiences something of that deep physical hunger. Because what we're meant to do and what this does for us is helps us experience something of the deep spiritual hunger that Jesus had for us in going to the cross. And also on Good Friday, to make as much as you can of it a certain quietness and somberness within the soul. If someone you love dearly died in a tragic way, you go through that day differently. You may still have to go to work. You may still have to do all the things that you'd have to do, get the little kids ready for bed. But when someone you love deeply has died, you do that with something different in your soul. There's a real somberness. There's a quietness about it. One goes through their day differently. And so I encourage you on Good Friday to have that somber spirit within your soul as the one whom we love greatest has died. And then the Easter Vigil. The Easter Vigil, among all the great feasts of the church, is the absolute highest. Everything in our faith is encapsulated and found within the Easter Vigil. You have the great feasts of the church. You've got Christmas, you've got Pentecost, you have other feasts which are higher than the other days, and they're all around here. But then you have the Easter Vigil, which is way up here, because everything flows from that feast. That the darkness of sin and death, our sin and our death, which had killed God, is we're enveloped in that darkness, and you come into the church and it's dark, and in the resurrection, the light of that night, he comes into it. And the great exalted, which is proclaiming the salvation of God, and we hear in the word of God this preparation and this waiting for him until it bursts out into the Gloria and the Alleluia. There is nothing in the church's life like the Easter Vigil. And so I encourage you, if you can, come to the Easter Vigil to experience the depth of our faith and the depth of these holy days which come to their culmination in that great feast. Everything in Holy Week, all of it's a mirror of human life. The pattern of Holy Week is the pattern of every single human life, and everything that we go through in our life is in this pattern. And so to enter deeply into it, when someone you love is suffering and dies, and who have lost someone dear to you, you know you've experienced this, something in you when they're suffering is suffering with them. That when they die, something in you dies with them. And we know this. This is what the reality of love does. And also, when they rise from the dead, the glory and joy of that rises with you as well. And that last one is one we know only through faith and in Jesus Christ. Holy Week is about coming into deeper communion with Jesus. That our heart and his become one. Because we've been with Jesus through each one of these. Such that his suffering becomes my suffering. His death becomes my death. And the glory and the joy of his resurrection becomes the glory and the joy of my own.